The question was asked, if we're discussing that God does not appear overtly, he always leaves us the capacity to say that's not him at work. And there's always room for a person to say, I don't believe, I don't accept. So then how come in Egypt we say there were such blatant miracles? And I think the answer is within the question. The verse says in the book of Devarim, and the verse says in Parshas Vayeshanan, where Hashem says, look at world history. Has there ever been something like this? No. Will there ever again be something like this? No. Meaning the verse says this is a one-time occurrence. And the verse says, Ata ho'eta, you were shown all of this ladat, so that you know that Hashem is Elohim, that I control nature. I did do something unusual in world history. It didn't happen before, and it won't happen again.
But there were other times too, like when they crossed over the Jordan River, that they were building up stones to remember the miracle of crossing over, and so that you would tell them, and he specifically said, you have to tell them what's happened here to your sons, and make sure that your sons tell you their sons. And this is like a major thing. When a miracle happens, you should let your children know about it, as if the whole faith hinges on these things.
So, two things. First of all, the entrance to the land of Israel is described in the Torah as the conclusion of the Exodus from Egypt, meaning it wasn't over until then. If you look at the verse in the beginning of Parshas Va'era, so it describes, Votzeiti Itchem, I will take you out, right? It has the four terms of redemption, and then it says, Veveiti Itchem. The conclusion of the redemption is, I will bring you into the land of Israel. Secondly, I don't think that we say that that's a tenet of our faith. We definitely do things to commemorate a miracle. Even today, you have the blessings over a place where a miracle was done to the masses of Israel. No one's saying that there won't be other miracles or that we won't commemorate them. Obviously, you have Hanukkah, you see, you have Purim. We do commemorate things that were extraordinary in Jewish history.
Yes, but they're like very, like you said, there's always the ability to reason them away.
Right, right.
But not these ones. I mean, not when someone touches it with their, Joshua stands in the middle.
Right.
Jordan River parts, and you just walk right through.
Granted.
On dry land, it didn't say it was a little bit soggy or mushy.
Right.
So in other words, the ground is completely dry.
Agreed. Agreed. But that wasn't the point of that. Meaning,
but it was still a miracle, and it was something that was to be remembered, and I don't know, it seemed like God was specifically saying that you should remember because of these miracles. Or these miracles are here at least to give a lot of credence to what I'm saying. Give a lot of plausibility to the laws I've given you. Here's a big sign and a wonder, and your children should know about it. Your children and I want you to build these huge rocks up in the Jordan River.
But you don't see that on Kiddush every Friday night, in Kriya Shema every day, this is not a tenet of Jewish faith. The Torah does say, I want you to remember that this was an unnatural entrance. You have to realize your existence in the land of Israel is something that God decreed. And if you think about it, there's a phenomenal idea in that. It's part of the answer to the liberals and the leftists. And you see, our sages were concerned with that from the beginning of the Torah. What's our legitimacy here? Hey, wait a second, we're kind people, and yet we're living on land that we have to fight to maintain. Aren't we immoral? Look at what we're doing. It doesn't say go off to find a barren territory in Africa and set up a nation. It says come here and fight the people here. So there was an idea that God wanted us to retain about His deciding we should be here and His making it a miracle to enter, but that doesn't make it a tenet of the Jewish faith. So yes, there was a great miracle which God said it was important for us to remember, but that God did say, you know, the extraordinary miracle that had no other repetition was the Exodus from Egypt with everything, wherever you'll say that ends.
It just seems like God's nature is fluctuates a little bit, because back then it was very much oriented with physical manifestations of his power, something that was very impressive, something to be remembered this way. It seemed like, I mean, I don't know if I could, you know, talk about how, like you said, now it definitely isn't like one of the main things that we remember, especially when reciting the Amida. Back then, I don't know, I might go on out of limb here, But I think that if that happened in our time, we probably, that would become a major part of the faith.
Okay, but you have to remember that over there, the stress was, realize that I have demands of you. Meaning the stress wasn't, look at this miracle, God runs the world. The stress was, obviously God runs the world, but look that he brought you in here with this miracle and he has demands of you. You have to live up to the Torah. If you look at the verses there, that's the stress of the miracle.
But wasn't that one of the reasons why Moses was so frustrated when he went to God and he said, after all these signs and wonders, I still have doubted in there, asking you to give you meat or water, and that's one of the reasons why he was so angry, and he's hitting the rock, and he's telling God that I don't see how they could doubt you after all the signs and wonders that happened. So, obviously, wondrous works that you've done, and there's no... makes it sound like there's no other way to explain them. They're absolutely, obviously, divine interventions. And it seems like that's the whole origin of his frustration from a simple reading of it.
But there are some people that try to logically reason away all the claims of the
Moses' frustration tells us that there, at the